Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, June the 10th, 2012.
I want to invite you to stand with me tonight as we begin. We're just singing a few songs tonight before the offering and then the presentation by those that went to Angola and Walker County. So we're looking forward to that. Let's sing, Lord, Give Me a Willing Heart.
Lord, give me a willing heart. Lord, give me a brand new start.
Jesus, your name is holy. Jesus, your name brings life.
may be seated.
Well, we want to receive an offering tonight. We'll ask the men to come at this time. So, Bill, will you thank the Lord for this offering, please?
Our Father, as we come into your presence, Lord, we thank you for being our everlasting Father. In this world, we have fathers. We have Father's Day coming up. Thank you that we have a Father that will be forever. Thank you, Lord, that one day Jesus is coming back to be King and reign here 1,000 years. Help us to get our mind off the things of the world and the troubles that's going through now. Put our mind on you. Draw us up closer to yourself, Lord. We thank you for this offering. Use your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think we're going to see our slides, and there weren't a lot of people that that submitted slides. And what you've got is you've got a situation where they will not allow you to take cell phones or cameras into the prison. And so we have a few pictures on the outskirts of the prison, and then we also have some pictures that actually you can see different kinds of things on the bus and see family life on the bus and things like that. And so there's a couple things to be looking for. One is there is a particular place we stopped called the Farmer's Market, and they had a very nice taxidermy of a full white-tailed deer on top of the salad buffet. And that was kind of a conversation piece. And then the other thing, we're getting really close to that, aren't we? And then the other thing was, as we were leaving, we had a number of people that were, that is a wonderful white-tailed deer up there. And it helps you really find salad, helps you eat healthy and everything. And in addition to that, there's some nice pictures of other people in various degrees of slumber on the bus and so forth. And then afterwards, we're going to ask people to come and maybe share. You know, there was probably one or two things that you were wondering about. That sign that talked about forgetting those things, forgive and forgetting those things, that is the sign that is right there as you go into the penitentiary. That Bible verse is there for everybody to see. And the warden is very open about spiritually what they're trying to do there and the decisions that they're trying to make. And so that's a pretty neat deal, and it's a great testimony. And so we thought you'd be interested to see that. Well, I've got a microphone here, and I think I'm just going to set it here, and I'm going to ask people to come up and talk about Make sure that you're, if you went to Walker County, talk a little bit about Walker County, and if you went to Angola, maybe some insightful things that the Lord kind of told you and worked with you through all of those things. So, you know, I'm just going to let whomever wants to go.
I guess I'm going first. And don't worry, every time I get up with my Bible, everybody thinks I'm going to preach. So don't worry, I want to read a verse, though. And by the way, this is a shirt from Walker. I think you'll agree it's better looking than the Angola one, but even if you're a Vols fan. But let me see. I'm going to start off in Hebrews 13:3. Whoa. And it says, "Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them." And that's actually the verse because I could have tried to read it off my shirt. But that was the verse from Walker. And, you know, there's a bunch of stuff throughout the Bible about prison and prisoners. And it takes on a slightly different meaning when you've had that experience. So I'd like to talk a little bit about Walker. The Returning Heart Celebration at Walker was the first time that they'd ever done that. They have several different Bible studies there. They have a Malachi Dads program there. And they've been trying to get a program like Angola had. And this is the first year that they successfully did it. And everyone was really excited. It went off really well. Do we have that YouTube clip? Are we going to be able to watch that? Do you know?
I didn't mention that, did I?
If we can watch that at some point, that kind
okay.
Of
have you got one or two clips? Just one or two?
Just one.
Show us the clip. Is there another one? Is there a Walker clip, Kevin?
Okay, that's fine. Well, that was a clip from Angola, and that was pretty amazing. I had signed up to be a family assistant, which is, you can tell everybody in the orange shirts, and I was actually chosen to be a volunteer relief person instead of a family assistant. And so I started out, and I was a little bit bummed because that's what I wanted to do, but I figured, you know, it'll be good. And it turned out, those pictures of the kids running over and hugging their dad, I got the coolest job. I got to be, well, you can't really call it a runner because in prison, that's you don't run anywhere. If you run somewhere, it's a problem. So you can walk somewhere quickly, but you don't run. So, but what I got to do was basically the whole first part, I got to take the slip from the family assistant that had the dad's name on it and walk over and give it to the announcer, and he would call out the name of the dad, and then they'd come down together, and I got to see most of the reunions, and that was the coolest thing. That's one of the highlights of the thing. You know, this day is a day where the dads and the kids can, for all intents and purposes, go to a fair together, and they have an opportunity to interact with each other in a way that they don't get. Some of them, their whole life, the only interaction they've had is across a visitation table. And, you know, and it's good to have visits, and it's good to sit across the table from somebody. But one of my favorite memories from this year was a dad and a son. They had played a bunch of the games and got their Awana shares and gone to the Awana store. And they got a football, and they came around and found an open area, and they started just playing catch with each other. And that was kind of cool, and they did it for a long time. They just tossed the football back and forth. And then it kind of progressed, and they started running plays. And so the son would come back to the dad, and they'd kind of talk for a minute. And then the son would go out and run a play and, you know, hook around, and the dad would throw the football and you know, pass it. And they did that for a long time, too. And it wasn't, you know, that amazing of a thing any of us would think, going out and just throwing a football around. But they don't have that opportunity, you know, and that son is going to take that football home with him and remember that time that he got to toss the football back and forth, and that his dad got to instruct him, like a dad would, on how to run a play and how to turn and when to catch the ball and everything. And it's simple moments like that that really the whole setting fades away and everything, you know, kind of fades into the background, and it's just this golden opportunity for these men to have time to connect with their children. And that's really the heart of what makes that ministry so precious. Thank you.
When Matt first started talking about going to Angola, back before he'd ever even gotten to go, and he started explaining it to me, and I watched a video clip, and the video clip will make you cry when you listen to the dads get to talk about this. But I was like, that sounds like the perfect thing for you to do. You go do that, and my contribution will be I will stay home with your children and work really hard not to strangle anyone while you're gone. And that will be my contribution to it. And when he came home, and I could see just the amazing impact it had had on him to spend the day with a dad and his children who had never gotten to do that together. And he was like, you have to go. You have to go. You have to be a part of this. You would be safe. Because one of my fears was, that's a lot of razor wire. That's a lot of fence. And he said, no, it's not like that. You would be safe. You would love it. You've got to go. And so when the opportunity to go to Walker County opened up, and it was only 45 minutes away, and it was only a Friday evening and a Saturday, I didn't have any good excuse not to go. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. But I was thinking, I'll just be one of those, you know, background volunteers. Background, I'm good with that. I can give water to people and serve food and whatever. And then I found out my beloved husband had signed me up to be a family assistant. I was like, thank you. And I actually, we were like the exact opposite. I actually didn't want to do that. I was scared to death to do that. I'm a fill the awkward silence kind of person. I don't like odd, awkward silence. And I thought, oh, what if I get a dad and he and his children and they're not talking to one another or whatever, and I just start talking and I just, you know, I might just like mess up the whole thing. And so I hung back and hung back and hung back as they were matching up family assistants with kids. And I thought, maybe they'll run out of kids before they run out of family assistants and I'll do something else. But nope. I got paired with a dad and his two sons. And I've got to tell you, there is just nothing like it. I just wouldn't trade that day for the world. To get to be with that dad and his two sons, just as the background, you're a glorified bag carrier. You carry their bags, you hold their drinks, you just hold their shoes when they take their shoes off for things. You just walk around behind them, you know. But you get to be the firsthand witness to a day they have never had before. This dad hadn't gotten to spend that kind of time with his kids in years. And Walker County's a little different. A lot of those inmates really will be released someday. So he, Lord willing, will be reunited with his kids out in the regular world in about 5 years. But Angola, man, that's all they've got. But there was one point in the day where his kids, they have all these inflatable slides and jumpy houses and all this stuff, and his boys were a little bit older, and I thought, I wonder if they're going to enjoy doing this stuff. And yet they looked at that giant slide and they were like, yeah, we want to do this, you know. And so they had taken their shoes off and they were running up there, and I thought, should I say anything? And finally I leaned over to him and I said, you should get on there with him. And he said, you think I should? And I said, yeah, I think you should. And he took his shoes off, and I will never forget the sight of that grown man and his two boys coming down that slide. And they did that over and over and over. Just the joy of just something we would totally take for granted all day. And the whole day I was thinking, I wonder if he knows the Lord. I wonder if he knows the Lord, you know. And I was trying to work up my courage during lunch to ask him, you know, do you all know the Lord? And he, lo and behold, he turned to me and he said, do you know the Lord is your Savior? I was like, yes, I do. Do you? Yeah. And he said, yes, I do. And I said, have you had a chance to share that with your sons? And he said, I have. And they have both accepted the Lord as their Savior. And he said, we're going to pray together. And it was funny because he said, is that okay? And I was like, yeah. And it was just so, I just can't tell you the blessing it was to sit with that dad and his sons while he prayed with his boys, while he held their hands and he prayed with them. And he prayed for the decisions they were going to make and the friends they were with and their school and their mom and just all these things. And just to sit there and be a part of that. And I thought, I can't believe I was ever afraid to be a part of this. So I would just really like to encourage you all. The Angola trip is a lot further away, and like I still couldn't go this year because of end of the school stuff, end of the year school stuff. But man, Walker County, you don't have very many excuses. So I'd like to encourage you all. If you're afraid, man, just jump in and do it anyway. The Lord will really use it. It was just a tremendous blessing.
Okay, if you know me, you know that I can talk a lot, but I promise that I wouldn't speak for 3 days up here. because literally when I came back from Angola, I think that I spoke for about 3 days to every person I came in contact with just to let them know the amazing things God did on this trip. From the moment I got on the bus to the moment I got here and sobbed for the person that I met that didn't go on the trip, just overwhelmed. You know, the one thing, being at this church for just 4 years, you know, Kelly mentioned the other Sunday that we all typically stay in our circles, our group of people, you know, and we don't, you know, it's kind of one of those, well, let's branch out, let's know people. So I think somebody can vouch for me that I spent from Chattanooga to Louisiana going from seat to seat to seat to seat to seat, talking to everyone, getting to know people. So, because it was a long trip. Got to do something, you know, and I was awake. So that to me was a blessing because I got to know Debbie Darling and I got to go Matt Thompson. And, you know, I just got to know people that I didn't really know in the church. And it was just such a blessing. You know, it was overwhelming to me just to see being a part of the Malachi Dad's graduation and a part of that ceremony, seeing the pure joy and the thankfulness on these men's faces. They may never leave. They probably will, you know, pass away there, but they are overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord and so thankful that they have been set free even though they're still incarcerated. And that to me was a self-examination point, because if they can be this thankful and they can be this joyful, what am I doing in my life? You know, what am I doing as far as service-wise and being the hands and the feet and just proclaiming, you know, God's love and God's mercy for me? And there's nothing like it. So just like Carol said, take the 4 days to go to Angola because it is amazing. It is wonderful. You will walk away completely changed from it because we were shoulder to shoulder with, you know, men who have committed crimes, you know, who have committed crimes that they will tell you that they have, but they have been saved from, you know, from those. And I'm just so thankful that I wasn't afraid to go. I think the only part that I was afraid is when I got locked in death row. So we were taking a tour, and they actually take you in the building where they do the lethal injection, and that was very humbling just to be in that building. But they also take you down the cell block to show you just a cell size and where they are, and the steel door shut, and I heard the click, and for a moment I panicked. That was just the only time that I ever panicked and realized I was in prison at that point, but thankfully somebody let us out. I had a dad who had contact with his kids. They visited him every month, and they lived in Baton Rouge, just an hour away, and they were 10 and 14, and they went to church, and they, you know, they knew the Lord, so I was very thankful for that. But this was the first time that he had participated in the Returning Hearts, and he had inmate friends inside that kept saying, you know, come on, you need to do this, you need to sign up, you need to sign up. And he kept saying, no, you know, I don't know about that, I don't know about that. And so this was the first year that he, you know, signed up to do it. And it was just watching his face the whole day. He was just in awe and amazed and so thankful that people were there and that people cared enough to be there to participate. And he just loved on his kids and hugged them. And that was just so, just such a blessing for them. One of the amazing things, and this is it, I promise. One of the amazing things that happen is they do a gospel presentation, and they do it for all ages. They do, you know, a clown presentation for the smaller children, and they do a muscle man, you know, presentation for the teenagers. And we went to the, you know, the muscle man, and he was bending steel, and he was breaking bats with his back, and it was just amazing. But he was doing the gospel presentation as he was doing this. And you could see I was watching around, and you could see the inmates' faces because he was very relatable. He was, you know, I used to run with the drug dealers, and I used to do this, and I used to, and he was talking about things that were relatable to these inmates. And he said, you know, 4.5 years ago, the Lord just grabbed a hold of me, and he just, you know, got a hold of me, and I just haven't stopped since. And at that time, he stopped and he said, you know, he said, I'm going to ask you right now. He said, if you feel the call of the Lord and you feel that you want to accept him as your Savior, you just step up right now. We're going to take care of this. And an inmate right in front of me stood up. And the inmate went up and he said, you know, this strong man, he said, you know, we're going to take care of this. If you all want to come up, just come on up. And his little girl walked up with him and put her arms around his waist, and they said the prayer right there. And I have sunglasses on, thank goodness, because I was just very emotional at that point, because that's such a blessing. That just shows that God was there. You know, God allowed everything to happen that day, and it just went off so, so wonderfully. So that was my experience.
I'm already crying before I even get up here. So, I wanted to go last year to Angola, and I was so excited about it. And then my daughter, of course, got married, so that kind of messed up the plans. Didn't mess it up, but it was worth the wait to go this year. With the flood, I was going to be able to go, but then, they had to move the date, so that kind of got into May, which was too close to the wedding. June. They went in June, did they not? So, I went and I had a wonderful experience. I mean, it was just everything just clicked. You know, I'd been praying about this constantly, on and off, all day for the days and weeks beforehand. And, they tell us to stay back, which we were the first timers, stay back and watch the children reunite with their parents for the first time. Well, I sat through two people, and that's as far as I could wait. I was already crying through that, so I knew if I kept waiting, you know, I just wouldn't happen. So I went ahead and went out, and when I got out there, they said, we're looking for someone who would like to be with one child. So, of course, I got down, and it was a little girl, 6 years old, and her name was Madison. She had three little pigtails. If you noticed in the slide that they had, she was with her dad, and if you go back on the website, you can see she had two pigtails in the front and one back here in the back, and full of energy. And I talked to the dad. It's the first time for the grand. This was actually a granddaughter coming to see her papa in prison, and first time for her to be with him per se. You know, seen pictures of him and things like that, but not to spend any time with him. So I looked at him and I said, I promise you, she will be with me every minute. She will not be out of my sight. And you know how we mamas can be. We can be like bears, you know, you don't mess with our babies, you know. So I promised him I would take care of her. And as you have to walk, you meet the parents and the child, and you walk across the street, and then you have to walk across the field. And so she was already skipping, and, you know, just happy. I could tell, full of energy. And but when they called out her granddad's name, and we were fixing to walk out, I knew she was nervous because she reached up and she took my hand. So I thought, okay, we're going to be all right then. So, you know, say check your bands and make sure, you know, she's signed in correctly and all those kind of things. And so then bent down and I said, is that your papa? And so she took off running and just clinged to him. And I think the prisoners all stood up and was clapping and cheering for him. For it. Of course, you know, like you say, you're glad you had sunglasses. I mean, I was just already crying. So as we walked off the field, and of course they encourage you to take pictures, let them go get pictures made with their child or grandchild or whoever come to see them. So I said, why don't we go ahead and head down to the pictures before there's a line. And one of the rules was the children are not allowed to bring anything into the prison to give to the parents or grandparents, and the dads cannot give anything to them unless it's something that they have won during the fair. Well, as soon as we got out of sight of everybody, the granddad reached in his pocket and he pulls out this little necklace, and it had the word Madison on it. So he had made it beforehand, and you know, and that's just, and of course, he handed it to her. Of course, she was bubbly, thrilled to death, and I said, you know what, Madison, let me hold on to that until we get our pictures made. So we made this, Melvin was the gentleman that I worked with, and we had that eye contact, and if you look back and see the slide, you'll see he's a pretty big man, you know, but I'm used to that with Rick, I guess. I wasn't too intimidated, but he was, could not have been nicer, but we made that eye contact because he knew that right there could get him in trouble passing things, you know, to. So I kept it in my hand at all times so he could see I had it. And sometime during the day, I ran across one of the staff members. I didn't want a new person. I wanted someone that worked with the Malachi dads year round. So I showed it to him and I said, Melvin made this. May I pass this on to his grandchild? So he gave me permission. But I kept it in my hand until lunchtime. And as we were going to lunch, I said, Melvin, I said, I want to give you this necklace back to you so you can give it to Madison at your, you know, whenever you want to. So during lunch, we were sitting at a table, and it was full of people. Then all of a sudden, they just all left, but the three of us. And I sat opposite them. I tried my best to kind of stay in the background as much as I could. And Melvin reached in, and he pulled out the necklace, and he puts it on her. And, of course, she's so excited. And I thought, well, great. You know, I didn't have to prod him at all. But then he reached in his pocket again, and he pulls out a bracelet. And it had the word Madison on it. So I said, Melvin, and he looked at me, and I said, that's a beautiful bracelet. So he went ahead and put it on her arm. So then, you know, I thought, okay, that's good. But then he reached again in his pocket, and he pulls out some little earrings that had the letter M on it for Madison. But she wanted to keep what she had on at the time. So I said, we'll just, because Awana furnishes a little backpack. I didn't have to carry anything. Michelle, you're going to have to learn to be a mama, you know. It was great. She wanted to carry everything, so that worked out great for me. But anyway, so we put the earrings in that. So that kind of set the day. And Melvin, all during the day, would kept saying, I cannot believe I am here where I'm at with my granddaughter. And it was her birthday. She had just turned 6 years old. And he said, on her birthday at a carnival. He kept saying the word dreamt. I would have never dreamt it. Would have never dreamt it all day long. And at one time I said, I am so sorry, Melvin. And he said, oh, no, don't be sorry for me. He said, the Lord has blessed me so much because he said, I would have never dreamt that I would have had my granddaughter like this. And it makes you appreciate what we do have. You know, sometimes we are a little reserved in our church, you know, but in their church service, to see them truly praise the Lord and feel free. To be in prison, like they said, probably for life, but they're so free. And that at the end of the day, you know, he looked at me and he said, let me tell you this about Melvin. He had served in the Navy and was honorable discharged. And he said just that split second, lost the temper, you know, went crazy and did something, and I'm here for life. So, but he said, but it's okay. He said, I've got today. And if you look back through that slide again, you can see the little girl has, there's a little dog that she had won at the fair. And I had said, she bought it it's like the Awana store that we have. And she had bought lots of stuff. And I said, Madison, why don't we see if we can find something for Papa to have that you can give to him? And so ended up getting this white and brown dog, and it's a larger stuffed animal, of course, and he knew what she was doing, but he was acting like, you know, oblivious to it. So she presented it to him. I said, we'll wait so you can sit down and talk to him. And of course, she couldn't stand it. She turned immediately and gave it to him, you know. And of course, he just went on and on and on about it. But at the end of the day, when he was sitting there, he told her, he said, I will keep this dog with me at night when I lay down and I go to sleep. I will never forget this day that I've had with you. And it goes to prove sometimes people act big, some people cause trouble, some people do things like this. But at night when they lay their head down on their pillow, you never know what goes through people's minds. So the Lord had done that. And at the very end of the day, Melvin said, I have never been with my granddaughter, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. I was going to try to do it, but I didn't know how I was going to do this. And he says, you have made this so easy for me. And I said, you could not have given me a bigger compliment. And I said, I have prayed for you, so I know the Lord had put us together. And I'm telling you, it is a life-changing experience. And I encourage, pastor said he would rent two or three buses if we needed to, and whoever paid for our bus for us to go, we are so thankful. And yeah, that was very, very nice, and we do appreciate that. And we hope we see all of you on the bus with us next year.
We're burning daylight now. Who would like to be next?
You know, you think you're going to go on this mission trip and you're going to be a blessing to someone. And I'm sure God used me, and I pray that I was. But what you get in return is humongous. I just feel so blessed to have been a part of it. My dad's name was Peter. He was one of the Malachi dads. He was a believer. His two daughters, he had a very good relationship with already. Heaven and Haven were their names, 11 and 9. And they were a joy also. I think they watched out for me just as much as I watched out for them. After getting family pictures, and they invited me to get my picture with them, which I felt quite honored. To be in one of their family pictures. The first thing that dad wanted to do was get an icy. So we got it, red icy. And then we went and got cotton candy. We played a little bit, and then we got another icy and another cotton candy. And we played a little bit, and then we got another icy and another cotton candy. And for some reason, he skipped the cookies at lunch. I didn't understand that, but he definitely got his sugar fill that day. at the end of the day, you saw the balloons, each child and each inmate had a balloon to release. And after that, Peter prayed with his daughters and with me. We just, you know, was huddled and he prayed. And most of that prayer was for me. I just, a little befuddled over that he prayed for me so much. I think about them every day, and I pray for them. And you won't be sorry if you go next year. You just won't. And you'll see they signed my shirt. So this is my wonderful memory, you know, to keep and to remember my family. And I look forward to going next year and to hear how their year's gone and how the Lord has used them over this past year. And one thing that came to my mind is, you know, these men that are imprisoned for life and they're studying to be a better dad to their children, and you think of all of the things that are in their way, and yet they're studying to be a better dad through the class that they take, the Malachi dad class that they take through the year. And they had this oath that they said was just totally amazing. And again, you know, what kind of excuse do we have? You know, we have the freedom and the choices, and we don't have someone watching over us every moment, and we don't have to get permission for every little thing that we do. And yet they're working to be a better dad and to do the ministry that God's called them to do while they're locked up. And it just made me realize that I need to do more. Thanks.
My name is Sheila Reimer. And I had read all about the history of the Angola prison, which is a really horrible, frightening, terrifically dreadful place to have been some years ago. And the thing that impressed me most in first going to the penitentiary was the silence, the serenity, the orderliness. I mean, just there's just nothing that jumps out at you to be frightened about or concerned, except all that barbed wire. But we did have a tour which told us many, many things, and you learn more as you go, and I suspect when you go back you pick up something else every time. But the service with the Malachi Dads was really phenomenal, brought many of us to tears, just watching their joy and knowing that many of them will never get out. And the dad I had a 14-year-old daughter and a 17-year-old son. The 17-year-old didn't show up. The kids were coming from different cities. But that 14-year-old daughter, she'd been there last year, and she had been real shy the year before. And this year she was a little more relaxed. They see each other regularly, so there wasn't the tremendous emotion when they first saw each other. It was really hot. Sweating constantly, and as at a 14-year-old, there wasn't a lot of 14-year-old things to do, but all the little games. The girl won all the prizes she could, and then they go and shop with their little certificates that they get. And she'd played games and bought everything that she wanted. And she had been out to a dance the night before at her school, so she was really tired. We ended up sitting on the bleachers in the shade for 3 hours of that time. And one of the things that had happened just before we went to the bleachers, they had a trailer there that was air-conditioned that had the story of creation, a good comparison of how the Bible speaks about creation and dinosaurs and things like that. So it was real interesting to the kids. And as we were going to the trailer, I told the father, let us go ahead and go there now. I'm sure it's air-conditioned. Well, at Angola Prison, they don't have air conditioning. The inmates do not get to experience that at all. He said, no, ma'am, I'm sure you're wrong. And I said, oh, it's a trailer. It'd have to be air conditioned. No, ma'am, I'm sure you're wrong. And as we went to the trailer, they called all the prisoners for a count, and so the dad didn't get to go in. The girl and I went ahead and went in and experienced that nice program. And when the dad came back, she said, you got to go in there, you got to go in there. So we went back, and he was amazed that he got to experience some air conditioning, and he liked that better than anything else. And she had already seen the program, and she just laid her head over on her dad's shoulder and fell asleep during that program. Then we went to the bleachers from there, and she slept on her daddy's shoulder the whole time with his arm around her. And that's such a common thing that we do with our children, with our wives, with our dads, with our husbands. That head on the shoulder is quite a comforting thing. He said, I've never gotten to do this before with my daughter. And she slept in the heat, and he and I talked about daughters, because I've got two, and telling him the things that girls need, that I know they need. And being a girl, of course, there's, you know, we all can relate to that. But when we left, and when we were saying goodbye, I told him I would be praying for him, and especially for his children, for 1 year, and I wanted him to know that ahead of time. And so we prayed, holding hands, the three of us, and then he prayed for all of us, for the volunteers that came, the people that came to help. He didn't pray for himself or his family. He just prayed for us, and he was a Malachi dad. And when we said amen, he just lunged at me and grabbed me to hug me and said, thank you for praying for my kids. Thank you so much.
You know, this morning when we looked at Genesis 13, I related that to the experience that that Abram had at Bethel. And you remember that was a pretty significant spiritual experience for Abram, because, you know, in chapter 12, around verse 7 or so, he built that altar in Bethel. And then later on in chapter 13, around verse 4 or so, he went back to Bethel, went back to that altar again. And then at the end of the chapter, actually built another altar in verse 18. And what I did was I related that to significant spiritual experiences that we have. And I told you that, you know, I had one in a bus, a Chicago CTA bus in Chicago, and what the Lord did for me at that bus. And I had one on a morning. When my mom and I were able to sit and talk and pray and things like that. I had another one when I went to Angola. Now, having the heart attack and all the, not the heart attack, but having the heart surgery, the Lord had been, I want to say softening my heart, but that's probably not an appropriate analogy. But I'm telling you, going to Angola stirred you to think about your priorities, the direction of your life, the focus of your life. And one or two of them said, you know, I just know I can do more, I need to do more, and everything. I think that's what we're talking about. And so we're hoping that you'll, that'll be sort of a fire that'll just sort of spread. And I'd love to see, you know, two buses next year. At least two buses go down there, because I think it'd be a great spiritual experience, and we would go out of our way to stop at that wonderful restaurant, the Farmer's Market. Now, the thing I didn't tell you, you saw those plates of food? There were many people that had the opportunity for the first time in their life to have regular cooked rutabaga. I mean, that is a delicacy. That was worth the trip itself, just to have some of that rutabaga. Just something to think about. Well, don't forget the prayer walk in the back, and I hope you'll take time to do that and to encourage workers. They've done a great job back there. So, Father, thank you for what you've been doing for us, and we pray, Father, that our hearts will be soft to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.